The first bhajan is on page 151. Je para sahona e jindariye. If you want to become the philosopher's stone, O soul, read the bani of the Satguru. Come on, dear ones of the Satguru, and sing the true bani. At least sing the Guru's bani, as that bani is above the others. Those who have good fortune and grace, in their heart dwells the bani. Drink the nectar and always remain in the color of God, as the rainbird remembers the water. Nanak says, always sing, as this is the true bani. If you want to become the philosopher's stone, O soul, read the bani of the Satguru.
Je para sahonai shindariye para satguru di bani. Je para sahonai shindariye para satguru di bani. Avo sikha satgur ke pyare yo. Avo sikha satgur ke pyare yo. Kavo sachi bani jindariye par satgur ki bani. Je para saonai. Jindariye par satguru di bani. Pai par saonai. Jindariye par satguru di bani. Pani tangavo guru keri. Pani tangavo guru keri. Pani asir bani jindariye par satguru di bani. Je para saonai jindariye par satguru di bani. Je para saonai jindariye par satguru di bani. Jinko nadar karma hove. Jinko nadar karma hove. Hirde tina samani jindariye par satguru di bani. Je par saonai jindariye par satguru di bani. Je par saonai jindariye par satguru di bani. Pivo amrit sandraho hari ranga. Pivo amrit sandraho hari ranga. Chapio saranga pani jindariye par satguru di bani. Je par saonai jindariye par satguru di bani. Je par saonai jindariye par satguru di bani. Kahe nanak sandagavo. Kahe nanak sandagavo. Eho sachi bani jindariye par satguru di bani. Je para saonai jindariye Satguru Divani Jai Parasaonai Jindariye Parasatguru Divani.
Drink the nectar and always remain in the color of God, as the rainbird remembers the water. If you want to become the philosopher's stone, O soul, read the Bani of the Satguru. This is a talk that Sanchi gave. It was, I guess he says it was the beginning of the series of commentaries on the Sukhmani, or the Jewel of Happiness, by Guru Arjan. And this talk was given on October 1, 1979, entitled The Power of Simran. I bow to the Adi Guru, Anami Purush Swami. I bow to Jugad Guru, Sat Purush. I bow to Satguru, Shabda Guru. I bow to Gurudev, the living master. In this hymn, Sri Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj first of all bows down to the Almighty One. He says, I bow down before the Anami, Absolute Master. I bow down before the Infinite Shabad Master. And I bow down before the Perfect Living Master. The hymn, Do Simran, achieve happiness by doing Simran. Remove the afflictions of mind and body. The Guru lays great emphasis on doing Simran. In the old days, the perfect masters first required their disciples to perfect their Simran. Only after they had done that were they given the sound current. In the present time, the saints have showered much grace on the soul. Now they give Simran and initiation into the sound current at the same time, because in the days when they were giving the sound current only after the disciple had perfected Simran, what would often happen? Either the master would leave the body before the disciple had perfected his Simran, or the disciple would finish his journey through the world before he could perfect his Simran and get the sound current. In either case, the work of the disciple remained incomplete. So in this age, the masters have showered much grace and are giving both the sound current and Simran at the same time, at the time of initiation. Simran is the only means to reach the Dunatmak Nam, which we are supposed to catch. But we do not know the value of Simran, and therefore we do not put enough emphasis on and effort into doing it. Because we do not know its value, we are not able to appreciate it. Simran has a lot of power in it, and only if our Simran is perfected can we catch the Dunatmak Nam, the sound current that will pull us up. No matter how much of the or how loud the sound current we are hearing, that sound will not be able to pull our soul up if our Simran is not perfected. So Guru Arjan says, do Simran and do Simran. By doing Simran, you will be able to get rid of the evils of your body, lust, anger, greed, attachment, and egoism. By doing Simran, you can easily overcome these evils. The hymn, Remember Him Who Sustains the World. By meditating on His Nam, many got liberation. Now everybody is doing the Simran of his work or activity. The shopkeeper is doing the Simran of his shop. Women are doing their Simran, they are remembering their duties. The clerk is remembering what he has to do in the office. In this way, everybody is remembering the activities of the world in which he is involved. Because we are all involved in doing the Simran of the world, we are always having worldly thoughts and we are always involved in worldly pursuits. That's why the Simran of the world, the remembrance of the world, brings us back into the world. It does not allow us to become liberated from this world. But Guru Arjan says that you should do the Simran of such a power which can liberate you from this world. By doing that Simran, you will not have to come back into this world. The pious words of the Vedas, the Puranas, and Smritis declare that the name of God is the only true word. The 27 Shastras, 18 Puranas, and 4 Vedas are the holy scriptures of the Hindu religion. Guru Arjan says, I have read all these holy books and I have found only one thing, emphasis on doing Simran. One cannot get emancipation except through the Simran of the Lord. One in whose heart his name is caused to dwell even a little bit, his glory cannot be described. The glory of Simran cannot be described. Even if one has done only a little bit of Simran, still the glory of that Simran cannot be described in words. Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj says, if one remembers him with all his attention, even for a moment, he also can become free of the clutches of Kal. There was an initiative, Master Sawan Singh, who was a school teacher. He used to do sermon in the morning while going for his morning walk. Once he was so much absorbed in doing sermon that he did not realize he had walked for 13 miles. Realizing that he had come so far, he asked how far he was from Ludhiana, the place where he was living, and was told it was 13 miles. The people there wanted to arrange for his transportation back to Ludhiana, but he said, no, I will go back with the same power who has brought me here. I still have the sermon which has brought me here. So when we are doing Simran, we should never remember our body. We should not even have a little bit of awareness of our body or mind. Nanak says, liberate me with those who yearn to have your darshan. Now Guru Arjan says to the Lord, O Lord, bless me with the company of those who have the desire of getting your company, and those who have become one with you, so that I may also get liberation by being in the company of those who have become one with you. Just as iron floats on the water if it is accompanied by wood, if you will bless me with the company of those who are with you, who are one with you, I will also get liberation. The ambrosial Nam of the Lord is the jewel of happiness, which resides in the devotees of the Lord. This bani or writing, which is called Sukhmani, or the jewel of happiness, does give happiness to the mind, but only because it sings of that which is the real jewel of happiness, the Nam of the Lord, who resides in the devotees of the Lord. By doing the Simran of the Lord, one does not return to the womb. By doing the Simran of the Lord, the fear of Yama runs away. This is the importance of Simran. By doing Simran, we do not have to come back into the womb of the mother again. We do not have to take birth in this world again. Further, the angel of death cannot come near us. We become free from the fear of him. If we do Simran, we can become free from the problems and pains of this world also. By doing the Simran of the Lord, Kal cannot approach. By doing the Simran of the Lord, the five enemies go away. If we are doing Simran, Kal does not come near us, because behind the Simran given by the Perfect Master, the charging and the power of the Perfect Master is working. The Perfect Master do not give us the Simran which they have heard from others. They give us the Simran which they have meditated upon and perfected. Behind the Simran given by the Masters, the strength of the Master power is working. By doing such Simran, even our enemies leave us. Our greatest enemy is the mind which is residing within us. If we are doing Simran, the mind comes under our control, and we can easily dominate it. Guru Nanak says that by doing the repetition of the Nam of the Lord, our mind, which is wandering here and there very swiftly like a deer, comes under our control if we are remembering the name of the Lord. By doing the Simran of the Lord, no obstacles come. By doing the Simran of the Lord, one remains awake day and night. If we are doing constant Simran, we will not have to face any obstacles and our body will not have any pain. If we are doing constant Simran, we wake up in Simran and sleep in respect to the world. Everyone knows how sleep bothers the dear ones. Sleep is dominating us very much. That's why it is a problem. But if we wake ourselves up in the Nam, then there is no problem. Those who wake up in the Nam, even if they do not sleep for 3 or 4 nights, will not have any problem, because Nam has such strength, such power in it. By doing the Simran of the Lord, fear is not felt. By doing Simran, pain does not affect us. By doing Simran, our willpower gets increased, and whatever fear of the world we have goes away. We have fear of the world only as long as we are doing bad deeds, as long as we are involved in sin. But once we manifest the truth within us, and once we realize that the truth, what the truth is, and once our willpower is increased, we need not be afraid of the world. Once we attain that condition, we always see the world as Lord and God. Because we have recognized the power of God, we need not be afraid of the world. The Simran of God resides with the true devotees. Nanak says, the devotion of the Lord is the treasure house of all riches. Can we get the Simran by ourselves? Can we achieve Simran by our own efforts? Guru Arjan says, no, you cannot achieve Simran by yourself. If you will go in the company of a perfect master, a perfect sadhu, and if that perfect master or sadhu is gracious on you, and if graciously he gives you the Simran on which he has meditated and which he has perfected, only then will you be able to have it. This Simran is the abode of all happiness, and by doing it one gets the happiness of all the world. Kabir says, O Kabir, in the company of the sadhu, God is remembered. Only the moments which we have spent in the company of the masters are counted. All other moments are wasted. By doing the Simran of God, one gets supernatural powers and the nine treasures. By doing the Simran of God, one gets knowledge, meditation, and understanding. If we are doing Simran, the supernatural powers come under our control, but the satsangis are told not to use them. Those who are doing the meditation on Nam, the supernatural powers, are their slaves. By doing Simran, knowledge comes within us. What knowledge? The knowledge of God, that God is all-pervading and working within us. The Simran of God is worship, repetition, austerities. By doing the Simran of God, duality vanishes. If we are doing constant Simran, we are getting the benefits of repetition, japa, performing austerities, tapa, and all the rites and rituals. If we are doing constant Simran, the sense of duality leaves from within us, and we see God working at every place. When we see God working at every place, we do not call anything bad or good. Guru Nanak says, O Lord, when you have made all this creation, whom can we call the bad ones? We see God working in everybody. For us, God is everywhere. For us, God is good. One who does the Simran of God is the real pilgrim. One who does Simran is honored in the court of the Lord. In India, people go to holy places and bathe in the holy water to remove the dirt of the sins which they are carrying. There are many temples and holy places, and at each one of them there is a pond of water, and of each one it is believed that whoever bathes in that particular holy place will become free of sin. But Guru Nanak says about these places that the so-called holy waters also want some saint to come and put his feet in the water. That water is carrying the sins of all those who come and bathe there, and it is longing for the dust of the feet of the Master, so that it can become free of the sins of those people. The truth is, as Guru Arjan says, that those who are doing the Simran of God get the benefit of bathing in all the holy places and of all the pilgrimages which, while they are sitting at home. If one is doing the Simran of the Lord, he is given respect in the court of the Lord. One who does the Simran of God gets all things done in a good way. One who does the Simran of God reaps the fruit. It is always good for us to do the Simran of the Lord. When we do the Simran of the Lord, he always gives us the benefits. Only those who are made to do his Simran do it. Nanak says, I touch their feet. This is a matter that requires great understanding. When we know how important it is to do Simran, when we know its value and what we get from doing it, when we know it is so beneficial, why can't we do it? By listening to talks on the importance of Simran, everybody will feel like doing it. But Guru Arjan asks, is it possible for everyone to do Simran? And replies, no, it is not possible. It is not in our control to do Simran unless God showers grace on us. Only he can do the Simran of God on whom God showers grace. Guru Arjan in another place says, O Lord, if it had been in our hands, then why would we have gone away from you? Now when we are weeping in your separation, if it were in our hands, why would we be separated? Hazur Maharaj Kirpal Singh Ji used to say, it is not in the hands of the blind man to go and touch the man who has eyes, unless the man who can see calls the blind one to come and take his hand, he cannot do it. In the same way, unless God showers grace on us and links us in the company of those who have done Simran, and unless he gives us Simran through a perfect master, we cannot do it. If we are fortunate, and if God wants to shower grace on us, then he brings us in the company of such a Mahatma. And when that Mahatma or master gives us the Simran in all his grace and glory, and when he makes us do that Simran, only then can we do it. Otherwise, it is not in our hands. The Simran of the Lord is the highest, By doing the sermon of the Lord, many have swum across. Those who are doing the sermon of the Lord go to the highest place, Sach Khand, and by doing the sermon of the Lord, they bring many other souls to that place. Kabir Sahib says, even a leper from whom a bad smell is coming, who is doing the meditation of Nam, is better than one who has a body of gold who is not doing the sermon. By doing the sermon of God, the desires are extinguished. By doing the sermon of God, everything is seen clearly. The desires which have made us a mad dog and are leading us like a mad dog, taking us here and there. If one is doing the sermon of the Lord, even if he is ridden with desires, he gets contentment, and all his desires and madness go away. Those who achieve this come to know everything, that is, they come to have the knowledge of the Lord. They know that except God there is nothing. By doing the sermon of God, the fear of Yama goes away. By doing the sermon of God, all desires are fulfilled. If we are doing the sermon of God, the angels of death cannot stop our course, cannot frighten us, and cannot give us any trouble. If we are doing the sermon of the Lord, whatever desires or needs we have in this world, he fulfills, and we become free of all desires. By doing the sermon of God, the dirt of the mind is removed, and the nectar of Nam dwells within us. By doing the sermon of the Lord, our mind, which is laden down with dirt from ages and ages, becomes free from it. The dirt is washed away. By doing the sermon of the Lord, the nectar of Nam starts flowing within us, by drinking which our soul becomes immortal. God resides on the tongue of the saint. Nanak says, I am the servant of the servants of God. Guru Arjan Dev is asking, where does God reside? Does he reside in America or Africa or any other country? Does he reside in any city or village or town? Does he reside in a temple or church or any other holy place? Tell me, where does God reside? If he were residing in the churches, the Christian priest would have found him. If he were residing in the temples, the Hindu priest would also have found him. If he were residing in the Gurdwaras, the Bhais, or the Sikh priest also would have found him. Then there would have been peace all over the world. The problems which we now have regarding religions, the conflicts which one religion has with another, we would not have seen. People would not hate each other or care about the difference of black and white. But this is not the way of the world. Everywhere people are fighting in the name of religion, everywhere injustice prevails. Guru Arjan replies to his own question. He says that God resides on the tongue, that is, in the words of the sadhu. That is why Guru Arjan Devji Maharaj says, I am the servant of such masters in whose words God is residing. Kabir Sahib also says, I am the servant of those sadhus who have controlled their minds. Kabir Sahib says in another place, my mind became a bird and went into the heavens. To my surprise, I saw that the heavens were empty and God was residing within the saints. Guru Nanak says, God always resides in the human form of a saint. Whenever he wants to come into this world, he takes on the form of a saint. He comes as a human being and resides in the world. Those who remember God are truly wealthy. Those who remember God are truly honored. Who is wealthy? Who is honored in this world? Only those who meditate on the Nam of the Lord and who do the sermon of the Lord are wealthy, and only they are truly honored. Neither riches of this world nor honors of this world will go with us. Only the meditation of Nam and the sermon of the Lord will go with us. That is why Guru Arjan calls those who are doing the sermon of the Lord the wealthy ones and the honored ones. Those who remember God are welcomed. Those who remember God are the highest men. Those who remember the Lord constantly, who are doing the sermon of the Lord constantly, only they are well respected, and only they are welcomed in the court of the Lord, and only they are given the highest place in the court of the Lord. Those who remember God are independent. Those who remember God are the rulers of all. Those who remember God become independent. They do not remain dependent on others. They are the only true kings in the world because they rule over the hearts of the people. Those who remember God dwell in the real happiness. Those who remember God become indestructible. Those who remember the Lord constantly become the abode of happiness, and they become indestructible. They never come to an end. Guru Nanak says, "My Satguru always remains in life. He never comes, he never goes. He is the indestructible person, and he is all-pervading. Only those upon whom he showers grace get attached to Simran. Nanak prays for the dust of their feet." Guru Arjan says that he longs for the dust of the feet of those who have applied themselves to Simran and those who are doing Simran day and night. And that's the end of that talk. And this is just a part of a selection of from letters by Master Kirpal Singh Ji. And this section was given the title, "The Making of a Man." This is from Sant Bani, August 1979. "There are basically two stages to be gone through before the struggling disciple rises above body consciousness and begins to enjoy the spiritual disciplines and to firmly tread the path of spirituality. The first stage is where the disciple has little or no knowledge of self-introspection and is in a state of abysmal ignorance. The second stage is when the disciple begins to realize that he has innumerable faults and failings which must be corrected before he can hope to rise above body consciousness, at which state this path really begins. The second stage, which is foremost a long, drawn-out struggle with the lower tendencies of the mind, is known as man-making. Spirituality, or rising from the lower realms of existence to the higher realms of untold bliss and harmony, is not difficult. It is the man-making which is difficult. There is no specific time for this second stage. It all depends on the disciple's aptitude for self-discipline, obedience to the commandments of the Master, and developing a love for him. It is the self-assertive ego which is the last obstacle to be conquered, and this cannot be done until the soul begins to come into its own, has some glimmerings of its own true nature, which has the result of developing in the disciple a natural humility. This is not to be confused with an attitude of servility, mind you. True humility has strength, but it is nevertheless not self-assertive. Although the gracious Master Power is ever at hand to help the disciple in this struggle, it is something which the disciple must go through himself. Nobody else can do this for him. You have been put on the way and have been given some capital to start with, which still exists with you. A seed has been planted in you, which one day must surely fructify, and you have as your constant companion the Master in his subtle form of light and sound. He is also quite capable of manifesting to you his charming radiant form when you have learnt to rise above body consciousness. It is not reasonable to expect to attain to the higher planes without first perfecting yourself to a great degree. As in worldly studies, in which it is not unusual to spend 20 years or more to obtain the necessary qualifications to fit yourself for a career, so even greater is the time and effort that must be put in by the disciple before he can be made a fitting vessel to receive the truths of his own soul and of God. It is a very odd outlook that some have to expect self and God realization in a short time with little labor, while the same people are willing to toil for years to obtain the pot of porridge that is all this world has to offer. The path includes all yogas. You are correct in your assumption that the path of the masters is the path of pure bhakti. The pearl of divine knowledge can be preserved securely in the casket of bhakti, or loving devotion. Bhakti in its pure and pristine form is love divine. But one must practice the elements of all yogas, though not in their extreme degrees, in order to obtain the fruits of this path. For example, the practice of Hatha Yoga is inherent in the fact that we must lead a clean, chaste life, living in accordance with the laws of nature by eating sattvic foods to ensure that the body gets a reasonable amount of exercise and abstain from all harmful habits or activities that will affect our physical health. Similarly, the arts of Jnana Yoga and Raja Yoga are inherent in the diary form that you are asked to maintain every month. The observances of nonviolence, control of anger, truthfulness, and chastity are all qualities that must be built into the mental habits of the mind and become second nature before the mind will be purified from its present dross and dirt. The correct practice of these ennobling virtues will give you the full fruit of Jnana Yoga, which is self-knowledge. The form of bhakti that you are asked to develop has nothing to do with the emotions. You are asked to develop love for and faith in the Master and to obey his commandments. If you can do this, and it is by no means easy to obey the commandments of the Master, you will have that bhakti which will give your soul its freedom far quicker than the most accurate practice of Raja or Jnana Yoga can give you. And on keeping the diary, unfortunately, few, if any, have any idea of what keeping the diary really means. As time passes, their entries become a mere matter of form, and the whole purpose behind keeping the diary is lost. We are asked to maintain the diary in thought, word, and deed. How many really do so? The majority just react in thought, word, and deed to the stimulus of the moment. In other words, instinctively. The truth of the matter is that we must become consciously aware of every thought that passes through the mind. We must weigh our words before we speak and not speak idle words as a mere reaction to the situation that confronts us. If we are able to make some progress in this regard, then we will be far on the way to controlling ourselves. This is the essence of the practice of Raja Yoga. Only when we have advanced far in this practice of living the life demanded of us, as implied in keeping of the diary, will we become fit enough to reap the fruits of the practices of Surat Shabd Yoga. This is from The Philosophy of the Masters, written in the name of Sawan Singh. And this is the first section called My Submission. Again, we're reading about Simran. The real Simran, as taught by the saints, is the most important part of Jap Yoga, the yoga of repetition or remembrance. And if it is done with the attention of the soul or with the tongue of the soul, then the heart of that individual becomes attuned to the Lord. All worldly thoughts vanish from the mind of the person who practices in this way and are replaced by the thought of the Lord. Then one feels his presence everywhere. Kabir Sahib says, by repeating thou, I became thou. For when the I-ness vanished from me, I saw nothing but thou. A person who has naught but the remembrance of God in his mind is truly great. We run after the objects of this world through our senses, and if we were to analyze it carefully, we would know that there are three main avenues through which we run out. One, the tongue through speech. Two, the eyes through vision. We give and receive impressions through the eyes. And three, the ears through hearing. In this manner, the impressions of the world enter our mind. In order to keep these impressions away, one should have the real Simran on his tongue. Then the same organ will produce impressions of the remembrance of the Lord on our subconscious mind. By continuous Simran, our previous impressions will be erased. If any new thoughts arise, they will be concerning the Lord. This will eventually result in concentration of the mind and soul. This method is natural and easy, and every person in any walk of life can adopt it. In order to do the inner Simran, it is not necessary to resort to other methods like breath control, because these methods are difficult to perform and are artificial in nature. Above all, they invoke risk in being performed by a householder or a physically weak person. What is Simran and how should it be done? To remember the Lord with every breath of our life is known as Simran. Simran is practiced with the ultimate aim of attaining communion with Him. Simran should be done in accordance with the instructions of a master whose own soul has merged in God. Such Simran will result in the greatest good because it makes use of the thought transference, master to disciple, which removes all obstacles that confront us in our transport to the upper regions. Thus the soul receives personal and constant guidance on the difficult path leading to the upper spiritual regions. Simran should be done by sitting in a comfortable posture, by concentrating the attention at the center between the two eyebrows, and by lovingly and devotedly repeating the holy names with the tongue of the soul. By doing this, the wavering mind becomes steady and one is able to achieve concentration. Simran, of course, can be done while waiting, walking, or in other conditions. Nor is it necessary to neglect worldly duties for this purpose. On the contrary, one should earn one's own living. One should keep one's mind and body unperturbed in order to practice sirman as instructed by the Master. The hearing and the seeing power of the soul should also be developed. This kind of sirman, even for a moment, is far more efficacious than sirman of various other types, even if done for ages. On whom should we contemplate? Our aim in life is to meet the Lord. In order to meet him, we should repeat his name and contemplate upon him. But since we have not seen him, how can we do so? God is beyond the reach of our mind and our physical eyes, so on whose form should we contemplate? God manifests himself through Shabad, which is a language without words. It can be heard only by one with a pure mind. But a great soul who has merged in the Lord through Shabad is virtually the Lord in human form, and he and the Lord are one. Of such a soul one can truly say, quote, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And that soul in the human form is worthy of our contemplation, because not only has he all the five tattvas, elements, complete in him, but he has become one with the Lord. Man is the epitome of all creation, and a true master is the greatest of all men. All other species, such as birds, trees, insects, and beasts, are below the status of men, and if we were to contemplate on them, we definitely would be pulled down. It is for this reason that the saints have advocated contemplation on the form of a master. His real form is the light of truth. Even his physical body is like a bright mirror in which the Lord is reflected. If anyone wishes to perceive him, he can do so only through his saints, because they are highly evolved souls who have merged in him. Guru Ram Das goes so far as to say, those who worship and serve a master are the dear ones of my Lord. To worship the master is true service of the Lord, because by his grace, the master takes human beings beyond the bondage of the phenomenal world. One more little section on sirman. O man, you should also keep awake in his remembrance at night, and put yourself in the practice of Simran, Dhyan, and Dun. By such practical, not only does the soul become fresh, but also the mind and body gain freshness. No fatigue of any kind remains. Farid says, God distributes musk at night, and those who are asleep cannot receive this gift. At night, such beautiful solitude envelops us that it can be compared to a river containing innumerable precious jewels of spirituality. Whoever is awake in devotion at the time becomes wealthy, for the wealth of the sound current can be received by the devotee almost gratuitously. Hafiz has also said that the early morning devotion and sighs over separation from him constitute the key to the treasure of Nam.
Mahatma says that saints are very generous. They call them friends, call them true friends. ਦੋਸਤ ਕਹਿ ਲਓ, ਬਜ਼ੁਰਗ ਕਹਿ ਲਓ, ਸੰਤ ਕਹਿ ਲਓ, ਜੋ ਵੀ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਕਹਿ ਲਓ, ਉਹ ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਬੁਰਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਨਾਉਂਦੇ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਸੱਚਾਈ ਤਾਂ ਇਹ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਅਗਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਮਝੀਏ, ਸੱਚਾ ਮਿੱਤਰ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਜੈਸਾ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਸੱਚੇ ਦਿਲੋਂ ਇੱਥੇ ਵੀ ਮਿੱਤਰ ਹਨ, ਸਾਡੇ ਦਿਲ ਦਾ ਦਰਦ ਉਹੀ ਮਹਿਸੂਸ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਸ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਪਿਆਰਿਓ ਸਾਡਾ ਦਰਦ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਸਾਡੀ ਅਗਵਾਈ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਦ ਤੱਕ ਕਿ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਤੁਰਤਾਮ ਨਾ ਪਹੁੰਚਾ ਦੇਣ।
Masters have a very big heart, they are very generous, that is why it doesn't matter if you call them your brother, if you call them as a friend, your father, or in whatever way you want you can address them, and they will not mind that, because they are the only ones who have the real sympathy for us. If we are in difficulty, if we have the pain, they feel our pain, they feel the difficulty, and in fact, they are the only ones who help us in this world and as well as in the world beyond. Because you know that as long as we are living in this world, whatever pains or difficulties we have, our Master feels those pain and the difficulties for us. And even after we leave this world, their sympathy does not stop for us. They are always sympathetic to us. And they will never leave us until they have taken us back to the real home.
Har samaj de bani, jo samaj sudharak han. ਸਭ ਮੁਕਤੀ ਨਾਮ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਸਮਝਦੇ ਹੈ, ਸਭ ਅਤਫਾਕ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੁਕਤੀ ਨਾਮ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਕੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਵਸ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਉਹ ਕਣ ਕਣ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵਿਆਪਕ ਹੈ, ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੈ?
The leaders of all the communities and the religions agree on this fact that we cannot get the liberation without doing the devotion of Naam. Even though they know the importance and the greatness of the Naam, but still they do not make any efforts in finding out that from where can we get the Naam. They do not have any idea that Naam is that power which is pervading everywhere, and Naam is the cause of the creation. Even though they know that without Naam they cannot get the liberation, but still they do not make any effort, they do not take any pain to find out from where they can get the Naam.
Pyareo, Naam lafaz kehne nu bada asaan hai, saukha hai, sirf Punjabi de do hi akshar lagde hai, likhiye ta, lekin eh kul malik di jaan hai, ਇਸਨੇ ਸਭ ਰਚਨਾ ਪੈਦਾ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੈ, ਸਾਡੇ ਖੰਡ ਬ੍ਰਹਿਮੰਡ ਇਸੇ ਦੇ ਉਧਾਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਚੱਲਦੇ ਹੈ। ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਮੁੰਦਰ ਕਹਿ ਲੈਣਾ ਬੜਾ ਆਸਾਨ ਹੈ, ਛੋਟਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਲਫ਼ਜ਼ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਤਨਾ ਉਹ, ਕਿੰਨੀ ਉਹਦੀ ਗਹਿਰਾਈ ਹੈ, ਕਿੰਨੀ ਉਹਦੀ ਚੌੜਾਈ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਦਾ ਅੰਦਾਜ਼ਾ ਲਾਉਣਾ ਬੜਾ ਹੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
Dear ones, to utter the word Naam is very simple because it is a very short name, short word, and in Punjabi if you want to write it down, it only takes two alphabet. But it is the cause of the whole creation. It is the life of Almighty Lord. And it has created and it is sustaining all the khands, brahmans and all the grand divisions of this creation. And nothing happens in this world without the power of the Naam. It is like the word ocean seems to be a very small word. But you know that it is very difficult to measure the depth, length and breadth, the width of the ocean. It is a very huge thing. In the same way, Naam is not a very small thing. It is the cause of all creation and it is the only thing which is creating and maintaining the whole of creation.
So Guru Angad Dev Ji Maharaj kehnde hai jinnan nu tan vadiai bakshi hai ke ina naam milega, ina de andar naam pragat hoega, kar karega, eh naam roop honge, tere naam di mehma, tere naam da swaad, tere naam da ras da unnan nu hi pata hai.
So here Guru Angad Dev Ji Maharaj says that, O Lord, those who have been blessed by your grace and those who have been given the honor that they will get the Naam, and within them the Naam will get manifested and they will become the form of the Naam, they will do the meditation of Naam. Only those dear ones, those who are destined to get the Naam and those who, in whose fate it is written that they will do the meditation of Naam, they are the only ones who know what the Naam really is.
ਉਹ ਬਾਹਰ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਿਸੇ ਪ੍ਰਕਾਰ ਦਾ ਰੰਗ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਦਿਖਾਉਂਦੇ, ਜੇ ਭਗਵਾਂ ਜਾਂ ਕਾਲਾ ਜਾਂ ਹੋਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਕਿਸਮ ਦਾ, ਉਹ ਦੁਨਿਆਵੀ ਹੀ ਪਹਿਰਾਵਾ ਪਹਿਨਦੇ ਹੈ ਜੈਸਾ ਕਿ ਆਮ ਪ੍ਰਚਲਿਤ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ, ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਰੰਗੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਦੋਸ ਬਲੈਸਡ ਵਨਸ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਪੇਂਟ ਦੈਮਸੈਲਵਸ ਔਰ ਵੇਅਰ ਦ ਸੈਫਨ ਕਲਰ ਕਲੋਥ ਔਰ ਐਨੀ ਪਰਟੀਕੂਲਰ ਕਲਰ ਕਲੋਥ ਟੂ ਸ਼ੋਅ ਪੀਪਲ ਦੈਟ ਦੇ ਹੈਵ ਦ ਕਲਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਨਾਮ. Outwardly, they live like the other normal worldly people, but in the within, they are dyed in the color of the Naam. They are always in tune with the Naam.
Sade duniyadaran de man vishe bakara naal range hoye hai, main meri na range hoye hai, aur sade andar naam de phurne nahi phurde ge. Jidhar sada man lagya hoya hai, jis cheez da rang chadhya hoya hai, sutte hain, jaagde hain, ohi phurne phurde hai, lekin mahan mahatma di drishti ਇਸ ਤੋਂ ਉਲਟ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ। ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਰੰਗ ਚੜ੍ਹ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਨੇ ਆਪਣੀ ਭਾਰੀ ਦਇਆ ਕਰਕੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਰੰਗ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਕਦੇ ਵੀ ਕੁਰੰਗ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋ ਸਕਦੇ ਗੇ। ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹ ਜਾਗਦੇ ਵੀ ਸੁੱਤੇ ਵੀ ਮਾਲਕ ਦੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਦਰਬਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੀ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਦ ਮਾਈਂਡਸ ਆਫ ਵੀ ਦ ਵਰਲਡਲੀ ਪੀਪਲ ਆਰ ਕਲਰਡ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਵਿਦ ਦੀ ਕਲਰ ਆਫ ਦੀ ਸੈਂਸੂਅਲ ਪਲੇਜਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਆਲ ਦੀ ਵਰਲਡਲੀ ਪਲੇਜਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਵੈਦਰ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਅਵੇਕ ਔਰ ਸਲੀਪਿੰਗ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਥਿੰਕਿੰਗ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਵਰਲਡਲੀ ਥਿੰਗਸ and those worldly pleasures and the color of those worldly things are never leaving us. But the blessed Mahatmas, the masters, they are colored in the color of Naam, and that is why their color of Naam never fades away. It always remains there, and day and night, whether they are sleeping or awake, no matter what they are doing, they are always in tune with the color of the Naam, and they are always dyed in the color of Almighty Lord.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ, ਜਿਨ ਕੋ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਰੰਗ ਦੀ ਆ, ਕਵੀ ਨਾ ਹੋਏ ਕੋ ਰੰਗ, ਦਿਨ ਦਿਨ ਬਾਣੀ ਆਗਰੀ ਚੜ੍ਹੇ ਸਵਾਇਆ ਰੰਗ।
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦੋਸ ਹੂ ਹੈਵ ਬੀਨ ਡਾਈਡ ਇਨ ਦ ਕਲਰ ਆਫ ਨਾਮ ਬਾਈ ਦ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ, ਦੇਅਰ ਕਲਰ ਨੇਵਰ ਫੇਡਸ ਆਊਟ, ਐਜ਼ ਡੇ ਆਫਟਰ ਡੇ ਦੇਅਰ ਕਲਰ ਗੋਜ਼ ਔਨ ਬਿਕਮਿੰਗ ਬ੍ਰਾਈਟ।
ਸਲੋਕ ਮਹਲਾ ਦੂਸਰਾ ਪੰਨਾ 1238 ਜਿਨ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਮ ਕੀ ਤੇਰੇ ਮਨ ਮਾਏ ਨਾਨਕ ਅਮਰਤ ਏਕ ਹੈ ਦੂਜਾ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਨਹੀਂ।
ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਤੈਅ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਮਿਲੇਗਾ, ਇਸ ਦੀ ਸੁਰਤ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਏਗੀ, ਇਸੇ ਜਨਮ ਵਿੱਚ ਪੂਰਾ ਹੋਏਗਾ, ਇਹਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਮਿਲੇਗਾ, ਇਹਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਤੇ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਆਏਗਾ, ਉਹੀ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਨੂੰ, ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਜਾਣ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ।
Often I have said that it is all predetermined about the person, that this person will get the naam and this person will have the faith in the master, this person will rise above the body consciousness and his attention, his soul will go inside and he will become the form of the naam, he will have faith in the master and will become perfect in the meditation of naam.
Sanu pata hi hai naam da amrit har samaj koi na koi mahatma da shabd leke padke usnu taiyar karde hai, jis tarah sade isai mat de andar ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦਾ ਪਾਣੀ ਕਿਹਾ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸਿੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਕਰਕੇ ਬਿਆਨ ਕੀਤਾ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਵੀ ਲੋਕ ਪੰਜ ਬਾਣੀਆਂ ਪੜ੍ਹਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਖੰਡਾ ਫੇਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਅੱਛੇ ਜੋ ਰਹਿਤ ਮਰਜ਼ਾਦਾ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਮਾਨਿਕ ਸਿੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪੰਜ ਆਦਮੀ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਬੋਲਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਤਿਆਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸੂਫੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਵੀ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਜਾਮ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਆਬੇ ਹੀ ਯਾਦ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਵੀ ਕੁਛ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਪੜ੍ਹ ਕੇ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਤਿਆਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹਿੰਦੂ ਲੋਕ ਵੀ ਉਸ ਪਾਣੀ ਨੂੰ ਤਿਆਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੀ ਬੋਲੀ ਅੰਦਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਕੋਈ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕੋਈ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦਾ ਪਾਣੀ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕੋਈ ਆਬੇ ਹਯਾਤ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ।
We know that this nectar of naam is prepared in almost all the religions in their own ways, of course. Like in the Christian world, they make that blessed water which they call as the water of life. And before making it like a blessed water, they read out something from the holy book. In the same way, in the Sikh religion, they recite the five major banis or the writings of the masters. And they also move a small sword-like thing in the water. And they say that now it has become the nectar. And the other way of doing it is they invite five respectable people whom they call as panch pyaras or the five dear ones. And they recite the five different banis and they bless that water and make it like the nectar of the naam. In the same way, in the Muslim religion also, they make a water which they call as the water of life or Abe Hayat. And in that also, they read some parts from the holy book. And in the same way, in the Hindu religion also, they make a prasad like thing, a nectar, the nectar of the naam. And before doing that, they also recite from the holy book or from their holy writing. So the meaning of saying is that in almost all the religions, this nectar of naam, which is described in almost all the holy books, is prepared by the people in their own ways and in their own languages.
Lekin har samaj ik dusre prati ehi dawa karda hai ki sada amrit theek hai, oh kehnde sade tareeke da amrit theek hai, lekin jad assi mahatma di bani padde hain jo andar jande hai shabd na jud ke amrit nu pee ke amar roop ho gaye hai ta oh sanu kuch hor hi bataunde hai.
Every religion claims that their way of preparing the nectar of Naam is the best and it is the only valid way of making the nectar. But when we read the writings of the Mahatmas, those who have gone in the within, those who have really drank that nectar and have become the form of that nectar, when we read their bani, then we come to know that they say something else.
Lekin Guru Angad Dev Ji Maharaj kehnde amrit ek hai, oh do char nahi hunde ge, aur ਉਹ ਮਨ ਦਾ ਪੜਦਾ ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਚੁੱਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਉਸ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਅੰਗਦ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦੇਰ ਇਜ਼ ਓਨਲੀ ਵਨ ਨੈਕਟਰ, ਦੇਰ ਕੈਨ ਨਾਟ ਬੀ ਸੋ ਮੈਨੀ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਕਾਈਂਡਸ ਆਫ ਨੈਕਟਰ, ਦੇਰ ਇਜ਼ ਓਨਲੀ ਵਨ ਕਾਈਂਡ ਆਫ ਨੈਕਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਿਦਇਨ ਅਸ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਲਿਫਟ ਅਪ ਦੀ ਵੇਲ ਆਫ ਦੀ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਵੀ ਕੈਨ ਡਰਿੰਕ ਦੈਟ ਨੈਕਟਰ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਕਰ ਹੀ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਭਰਪੂਰ ਹੈ ਮਨ ਮੁੱਖਾਂ ਸਾਧਨਾ ਪਾਇਆ ਜਿਉ ਕਸਤੂਰੀ ਮਿਰਗ ਨਾ ਜਾਣੇ ਉਹ ਪਰਮ ਦਾ ਪਰਮ ਫਰਮਾਇਆ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਇਨ ਯੋਰ ਓਨ ਹੋਮ ਇਜ਼ ਦਾ ਨੈਕਟਰ but the manmukhs cannot know its secret. It is like the deer has the musk in him, but he cannot find it out, he cannot take any advantage of it.
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ, ਨੌ ਦਰ ਧਾਵਤ ਨਵੇਂ ਦਰ ਫੀਕੇ, ਰਸ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਦਸਵੇਂ ਚੂਜੇ। ਬਾਹਰ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਬਾਹਰ ਬੈਠੇ ਹਾਂ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਰਸ ਨਵਾਂ ਦੁਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਫਿੱਕੇ ਹਨ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ, ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਾ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਪੀਣਾ ਹੈ, ਆਪਣੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਤੋਂ ਅਸਤੂਲ ਸੂਖਸ਼ਮ ਕਾਰਨ ਤਿੰਨੇ ਪੜਦੇ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਪਾਰ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਓ, ਫੇਰ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ
Guru Ramdas Ji Maharaj says that you run in all the 9 doors, but all the pleasures or the tastes which you get in the 9 doors are tasteless. If you want to taste the nectar, you go to the 10th door. He says that when we run in all this, through all these 9 openings of the body, whatever pleasures we enjoy, they do not have any taste in it. He says that if you want to taste the real nectar, you should rise above these 9 openings, go to the Parabrahm, and when you will open that 10th door and go to the Parabrahm, there you will get the real nectar to drink.
The tape was from January 1989 in Rajasthan. This final bhajan is on page 265. Om Manimuraka Abhato Jag. O foolish mind, at least now wake up. The night is dark, the path is unknown. On your head is the burden of sins. The river is deep, the boat is old, and on top of that it has thousands of holes. Ages have passed while you were sleeping. O lazy one, give up the sleep. The parents, the wife, the son, the brother, whom you understand as the most beloved, they all will leave you as soon as the bird of life flies away. Everyone has their own tambourine, and all have their own melody. The essence of all the truths is Nam. Nam is the support of life. Love is Nam, and by saying Nam, one takes the boat across. Kirpal is the holy Nam of God, who protects and loves. Leaving hundreds of works, go to satsang. O man, leaving thousands of works, meditate. As much as the body needs food, the soul also needs the food of Simran. O Ajabe, remember the words of Kirpal. You have wandered enough, so at least now wake up. O foolish mind, at least now wake up.
O Manamuraka Abhato Jaga. O Manamuraka Abhato Jag. O Man Murak Abhato Jaga. O Man Murak Abhato Jaga. Raat Andheri Pate Anjana. Sir Par Hai Paapo Ka Bara. Geri nadiyan naave purani, aur usme bhi ched hajar. Raat andheri pate anjana, sir par hai paapo ka bara. Geri nadiyan sode sode are alasi nindratya. O man murak abto jaga. O man murak abto jaga. Mata pita patni sut dara, samajhe raha chinko at pyara. Prano ka panchi udte hi kare jayenge sabhi kinara.
Hundreds of works, go to satsang. O man, leaving thousands of works, meditate. As much as the body needs food, the soul also needs the food of Simran. O Ajaib, remember the words of Kripal. You have wandered enough, so at least now. May God bless us all.